let me give you a guilt-free drop today. All marriages are going to go through times of disaffection, when you don't feel close or warm or in love. What do you do during those times? Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Our new Family Talk iPhone app is designed especially to uplift your marriage in a way that makes it easy for husbands and wives to find great resources and to be encouraged. This customized Family Talk app tailors content to where you are in your life right now. Whether you're a husband or wife, dad, mom, this Family Talk app will provide you with daily inspiration to strengthen your marriage and invest, by the way, in the lives of your children. Go to drjamesdobson.org/app right now and download your free customized Family Talk app today.
Today on Family Talk.
Probably the greatest charge in Scripture to a dad or to a mom is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You probably quoted it many times, Jim. It says, "These commandments I give you today, they must be on your heart, and you must teach them to your children, and you must talk about them when you rise up and when you lay down and when you walk by the way, and they must be written on your hands and as frontals on your forehead and written on your gates and the doorpost of your house." God is exhorting us, Jim, as dads and as mom, to make Scripture the language of our parenting communication throughout all the day-to-day activities.
There is truly no bigger calling for parents than to teach their kids the Word of God. Friend, you're listening to Family Talk, a production of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and the voice you just heard was that of today's guest, Joe White. Joe is the president of the Christian sports outreach called Kanakuk Camps in Branson, Missouri. These camps attract thousands of kids each year, teaching them core biblical principles for life. Joe is also a board member for Cross International, which globally provides food and supplies to impoverished people. He's a dynamic and passionate speaker and has authored over 20 books. Now, Joe White is a longtime friend of Dr. Dobson and a partner of this ministry as well. Today, you're going to hear a classic conversation Dr. Dobson had with Joe White about his book, Faith Training. Joe uses the analogy of a baton to describe how spiritual heritage is passed on from one generation to the next. He and Dr. Dobson also identify ways to love your kids and emphasize the importance of memorizing Scripture as well. Well, with all that said, let's get to today's broadcast. Here now is part one of Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Joe White here on Family Talk.
You know it's going to be a good day indeed when our friend Joe White is with us in the studio.
I'm so glad to be here,
Joe. It's always fun to talk to you. This is one of my favorite people on the planet, primarily because of what he's contributed to my own family and to hundreds of thousands of others around the country. In our case, through the Kanakuk and Kanakomo camps, which Joe runs. He's the president of that organization near Branson, Missouri. It's a great place for kids to go in the summer. And how many youngsters did you have last summer, Joe?
12,000.
12,000 kids.
Yes, sir. There's seven camps, and we're spread out around the lakes near Branson.
You had 12,000 kids and two adults, because Shirley and I visited you last summer there.
That was fun.
Wasn't that a fun day?
Yes, sir.
I tell you what, if there are people out there listening to us who have never heard of Kanakuk and Kanakomo camps, you ought to send your kids there, because they come home different and they come home better. And you love young people, don't you, Joe?
Yes, sir. That is my passion.
Well, it comes through in everything you do. Let me introduce this man. Joe played football at SMU. You didn't know I was going to go back that far, did you?
It's a long ways.
It's been 100 years. You were much younger in those days. You coached football at Texas A&M, later founded an organization called Kids Across America. That's for inner city youth, isn't it?
Right? Yes, sir. We had 4,000 urban kids from 35 cities around the country come to camp last summer, and they get the same incredible smorgasbord of fun and hugs and great opportunities in sports that a suburban kid who might have more resources get.
These are young boys and girls and men and women, young men and women, who ordinarily wouldn't have that kind of opportunity, right?
Yes, sir. There's Crips and Bloods in every street youngster that you've ever dreamed of or seen on the news at 5 o'clock. They're probably America's most forgotten kids. But when they come to camp, they're America's most loved kids.
Are you able to get through to them, Joe?
Oh, yes, sir. You know, Jim, the gospel penetrates any heart that's willing. And at camp, when a youngster can take down his hurts, he can take down the rejection that he's faced his whole life in inner city America and receive the affirmation and love from his counselors, they're as open to the gospel. In fact, to see a youngster from urban Chicago or urban Detroit make the move from where he is in inner city life without God to a walk with God at camp is the most beautiful track you've ever seen a youngster run in your life. And many kids run that race all the way from perhaps gang violence to a personal encounter with Christ in 8 days. You have to take your Kleenex when you go out there. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible place to
be. They're a handful when they first come in, aren't they?
You know, a lot of those kids are, but a lot of those kids from urban America are some of those well-parented, well-churched kids you ever saw. Many, many inner-city kids have a deep, abiding faith in Christ, but a lot of the kids are very forgotten and very angry at their fathers for not being home.
Joe, is that free to those kids?
Basically, yes, sir.
So you raise the money for that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, what an incredible ministry. 4,000 of them in the summer. Well, in addition to Kids Across America and the Kanakuk and Kanakomo camps, Joe's written a spate of books, some for parents and some for teenagers. And we're going to talk about one of those today. First, what kind of parents did you all have? Mm-hmm.
My mom and daddy are the best. They've been married 58 years. My daddy writes my mommy a love note almost every morning when he goes to work at about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. There's a little
How old
love
is
note.
He?
He's 83.
83?
Yes, sir. He's a kayak. Builds the camps. He's an engineer. Loves construction work. Very happy man. Exciting man. Loves people. My daddy has always had the greatest care for the lowest person on the totem pole. You'll watch my dad in any room that he walks into or in any culture, he'll always find the person who seems to be the most insignificant in the room and becomes friends with that person. I watched my daddy for years as a child growing up meet the men who collected the garbage from our house every Monday and Friday. My daddy would meet them at the back door with a hot sweet roll and a cup of hot coffee and a smile. Did it religiously. It's probably the highlight of his day. My mom's a servant. She's 79, looks like a teenager. My daddy says my mom has the cutest legs of any girl he ever met. She's a jogger and has the gift of serving herself, which brings out a great quality of youthfulness in a grandmom. Mm-hmm. They're great people.
And they work with you there at Kanakuk and Kanakomo.
Yes, sir. My daddy doesn't like to run anything, but he loves to build. He's an engineer by trade, and he still loves construction work. He's still very good at design and construction, so he builds my dreams.
Now, that's not so irrelevant to the subject we want to talk to you about, Joe, because the title of your book is Faith Training, Raising Kids Who Love the Lord, Passing On That Heritage, Passing On That Spiritual Commitment, which your parents obviously did for you and your brother, Joe. And this book describes how to go about getting that done. There is no higher priority in living, is there? I mean,
absolutely
nothing exceeds
right.
that.
It's the greatest privilege. It's the toughest job. It's the most exciting challenge. But as a daddy, if I only do one thing with my kids on planet Earth, I must pass the baton of the faith to my kids. It's my highest calling as a papa.
Speaking of the baton, I wish we had television cameras here to let everybody see what Joe has spread out. He's come into the studio before we got here and put all kinds of athletic and especially Olympic paraphernalia around. Over behind us there is a USA Olympic flag. There are batons that are passed in relay races in front of each of us. They're caps, there's all kinds of stuff. What did you do here, Joe? What was the idea?
Oh, Jim, years ago, as you know, I've told you before, I cut my teeth as a daddy on your teaching. I don't mean to flatter you, but I raised my kids according to Dare to Discipline. I raised my kids according to the strong-willed child. There was a concept introduced about passing the baton of the faith to your children. I never forgot it. And as I wrote the book, Faith Training, the book was centered around that theme of passing the baton of the faith to my kids. And as a daddy, if I can make a successful baton pass to my child in a way that they, as Paul told Timothy in chapter 2, verse 2, that they can take the baton and then pass it on successfully to their children, then the Christian faith, as far as I am responsible as a daddy, will continue for generation throughout other generations.
You know, right before my father died, that concept of passing the baton was expressed. I think he was speaking, and I heard him and wrote down some of the things that he said. And then in the film series that I did in 1978, I talked about it, that you don't often drop the baton on the backside of the track. Once you get it in your hands, you usually make the trip around the track with it. You know, the danger is in passing the baton from one runner to the next or from one generation to the next. That's where it falls, and that's where you have to be very, very careful.
Absolutely. There's a 20-meter zone to a 4 times 100-meter athlete that he must get the baton securely in the hands of the next athlete to continue the race. And as a daddy, I know that I have 18 precious years. To me, as a daddy, measured in minutes, they are so treasured. The minutes that I have when I hit the door after work at home, when I wake up in the morning to take that 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, maybe an hour or two, maybe Saturday, maybe it's all day, but whatever that precious amount of time is, and work and hug and love and teach to get the baton in the hands of my boy or my girl. Because once they're in college, there's not a lot of baton passing that goes on anymore.
And the baton, we haven't really explained it, but the baton is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That is
it.
The
does not matter how fast they run. I mean, if you're a relay racer and you finish the race first, but you drop the baton, you lose.
Got to have the baton.
Nothing matters but that the baton is in your hands.
And our kids are all we have to carry that baton to the next generation.
It's a scary time to try to get it in their hands, too, isn't it, Joe?
It's a scary time. You know, as a dad, I have a permanent void, a permanent cavity in my gut from the pain and the trials and the prayers and the sweat and the agony that we go through as we continue day after day, sometimes in the face of complete ingratitude, to get that baton in the hands of our kid. Yes, sir, it's a tough baton pass, but it's an exciting baton pass to see a young man or a young lady go off to college and know that even though their knees are skinned and your elbows are scarred, that they have the baton of faith in their hands. Jim, if I could just pass the baton to you for just a second. One of my favorite kids is Ryan Dobson, and it's just been a privilege to get to be around Ryan and to have him come to our camp 3 or 4 times. But I saw a young man who, like you, have been so open to share with your listeners for years, has struggled with the baton. But that young man was in front of 400 teenagers sharing what he had learned in the faith from his days as your son with passion, with zeal, with conviction. He had 400 teenagers leaning forward and laughing and applauding as he carried the baton into his next generation.
Mm-hmm. You helped get it there, Joe. I thank you. I'll always love you for that. Now, Joe, you mentioned college and that there's not much in the way of baton passing that goes on in college. There's some statistics in your book that are alarming. 80% of Christian teens who leave for college abandon their faith. 80%. And 60% of those never come back. That's terrifying.
Picked up that statistic from some friends in Young Life years ago who know kids probably as well as any organization around the country. It is terrifying. But I need to encourage parents that parents, and probably as many statistics as you have read lately that are discouraging, there are parents in this country today, I believe, that are doing the finest job of baton passing to kids. They may not be the majority, but when I interview college kids around America, as you know, I hire 1,800 college staff for our camps in the summertime. We hit the college campuses, and we know college kids. I meet many strong college Christians on campuses today. But as you said, the vast majority don't make it. I believe it's because we as parents are not doing a faithful job daily to get that baton securely in the hands of our kid. And Jim, I hope that this book, Faith Training, and our discussion can really be a tool, not just another book to set on the shelf in the library, but a daily teaching tool where parents, I mean lay parents like me, I'm not a seminary graduate, I'm just a pop. I'm just an old dad, but a lay parent
guru
like me
is what you are, a guru of kids.
But I believe anybody can do it with just a few tools that I believe this book will give, that anybody that wants to can get that baton in the hands of their child, that they will be one who will go to college and carry the baton through college and stand up for what they
believe. All right, let's talk about how to do that, Joe, because the book is filled with suggestions and specifics. We're talking to parents of young children out there. We're talking to parents of preschoolers. Starting at that age, how do you go about doing this? It's not with just sitting down and preaching to them about Scripture. It's a whole lot more than that, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, as our mentor Paul told Timothy, it begins by building an affectionate relationship between parent and child. This organization probably does a better job than anybody in the country of teaching us as parents how to build a friendship with our kids. And absolutely, I believe, as Oscar Wilde said, that kids will love home if home is the funnest place to be. If that 14-year-old boy walks in the house, or if I walk into that little toddler's room of my 2-year-old and they know that the man who cares the most about them of anybody in the world is their daddy, then I'm establishing the groundwork
for the
teaching that goes on at night.
Yeah, that comes really even before spiritual training, doesn't it?
You've got to love your kids.
Because you've got to build a relationship. You have a chapter in here called 365 Ways to Tell Your Kids You Love Them. And you have 365 specific examples. Talk quickly about that, Joe.
Oh, Jim, I'm kind of an overtaxed, probably borderline workaholic, and I discovered painfully when my kids were young that I wasn't doing a very good job with my children. One time I went to my office and there was a little note on my desk from a 9-year-old daughter who called me daddy that said, "Dad, when can I have an appointment?" Two or three other things happened that summer that God tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Joe, you're not doing it, partner." And I began to assess my values, priorities, change my calendar. And Jim, I began to write down things that I would have to look at every day, 50 phrases on how to encourage your child. I tend to be critical. And I began to focus on how to say, "Attaboy, good job, proud of you, way to go, partner." And then I began to write ways, specific ways that I could study. I wanted to be good at this job that I wasn't doing a very good job of. And I began to write down ways to encourage kids, like writing an I love you note. I used to love to pack my kids' lunches, and I'd just write a little I love you note and put it in the lunchbox. Or meeting the kids after school when I got to come home early from work with chocolate chip cookies and cold milk, or a cup of hot chocolate by the fireplace when they come in after a date at home. Just simple, practical ways that can happen throughout any day to encourage our kids and let them know, hey, mom and dad are crazy about you. Maybe we had a fight this morning when you went off to school. Maybe there's a problem in the home, but I can specifically show encouragement to you before you go to bed each night.
Let me list some more that are here, Joe. Number one, when your child is participating in an athletic event or musical performance, be there watching.
That's the best place to be.
Help your son or daughter learn a new skill, such as riding a bike, making a cake, or fixing a flat tire. Mm-hmm. Walk together with your child some morning all the way to the school bus stop. Next, read a chapter together from your child's favorite book. Memorize a verse in the Bible together. Share a devotional time with your child some morning before school. When the school bus brings your child home, be there at the curb with a welcome home smile. And on it goes. Great ideas. Have you always loved young people, Joe?
I have a disease. They're the greatest creatures on planet Earth. As the great youth worker Cal Farley once said, a boy is the only thing God can use to make a man. One of the things that I encourage parents to do, any parent, is to take a group of kids who are your child's peers and build a home Bible study around those 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 kids. Every Thursday morning, there's 7 or 8 high school boys who come over and have donuts, and we talk about Christian leadership. And I stay with those young men until they graduate from high school. We start in about eighth grade, and we stay together every Thursday morning until they graduate from high school. Well, now my boys just happen to be a part of those groups. And so I'm able to help raise their peers in the faith as well as my children. And that is really fun.
What it all comes down to, Joe, is that all of us, or most of us as men particularly, have a tendency to work too hard, to get immersed in our jobs, to forget what we're really here to do, what the primary task is. And no matter what we accomplish, no matter what we achieve in life, if we lose it on this level, we lose it. I mean, the only way you can spend eternity with your kids is to win them to the Lord. If you're a believer and they're not, you'll never see them again. That's what I believe. That's what I think the Scripture says. The only way I can be with my children through eternity is to win them to Jesus Christ. Probably so what could outrank that?
Nothing. Probably the greatest charge in Scripture to a dad or to a mom is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You've probably quoted it many times, Jim. It says, "These commandments I give you today, they must be on your heart, and you must teach them to your children, and you must talk about them when you rise up and when you lay down and when you walk by the way, and they must be written on your hands and as frontals on your forehead and written on your gates and the doorpost of your house." God is exhorting us, Jim, as dads and as mom, to make Scripture the language of our parenting communication throughout all the day-to-day activities. But in 1973, I went to a Bill Gothard conference, bless his heart, and he convinced me that if there was one thing I needed to give my life to, it was memorizing Scripture. I had never memorized Scripture as a man. I began to do that, and I began to just take chapters, and later they became books in the Bible, and began to memorize them just a verse at a time. And then the whipped cream on the pie was when my children were 3 years old and I could give them the Scripture that God had given me. We just lay by our kids at night, one little verse at a time, starting with the book of Philippians or with the 23rd Psalm or 1 Corinthians 13, and one verse at a time, memorize the Word with the kids. When they got about 9 years old, I had an idea. I said, "Hey, you guys, someday you're going to want to drive. And I want to make a little deal with you. When you turn whatever, 16, 15, 17, whatever the legal driving age is, I will give you the car keys selectively if you have two books in the Bible memorized and if you live by it." Now, I didn't just send them off on a six-year mission all by themselves. I knew as a daddy that I'd given myself a challenge that I had to live up to, and that every night between age 9 and age 16, that I would be the one who would participate and help them get those two books in the Bible memorized.
Entire books now. We're not talking chapters.
Yes, sir.
You're talking
books. And not Titus. It had to be at least four or five chapters in the Bible. But we did it together, and we had fun doing it. But this is every night over 2 or 3 years. And it's not a difficult job. It's just taking the Scripture one little piece at a time. And, you know, if there's one word that I could give to every parent in North America that I think would change your life as a parent is somewhere in a place that you see every day, maybe on your dresser or maybe right there by the shower as you get in the shower, is write down the word every, E-V-E-R-Y. And if you're as simple as I am, you need to have it simple. And then to challenge yourself that every night, no matter who's in the house, no matter what kind of company is over, no matter what's going on, that every night you'll lay down by your children one at a time, maybe for 5 minutes, maybe for 15 or 30 if there's time to talk. Visit, talk about the day, encourage. As I was with a big 6 foot, 2 inch, 17-year-old athlete who calls me daddy, crying to sleep, a place where I'd been many, many times, that every night we'd be there and we would finish our conversation and our last day hug by saying, "Okay, now Cooper, what's the next verse in James chapter 3 that we're looking at?" And over the years it builds and they walk away with the Word.
Boy, Joe, that's profound. You call yourself simple or
so simple.
Not intellectual. That is the most profound truth there is. And I know it has struck home today, the Title of the book is Faith Training, Raising Kids Who Love the Lord by Joe White. And it's good to have you here, Joe. There's more to talk about here. Let's do it next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Wow, what a compelling story to end today's broadcast. I hope it encouraged you to prioritize talking to your kids about God and memorizing His Word. You've been listening to the first part of Dr. James Dobson's conversation with Joe White here on Family Talk. You can learn more about Joe's various ministries and his powerful books by visiting the broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Our chief goal here at Family Talk is to support marriages and families, and one of the best ways we can do that is with the Dobson Digital Library. Go to DobsonLibrary.com to scroll through Dr. Dobson's many radio broadcasts, insightful blogs, articles, and much more. Our library addresses topics such as raising kids, resolving marital conflicts, and passing on a Christian legacy. So whatever you might be going through right now with your family, even the struggles, we have a resource that can help. Take advantage of Dr. Dobson's years of influence and knowledge by going to DobsonLibrary.com. This is Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for part two of Dr. James Dobson's discussion on spiritual heritage with his special guest, Joe White. You won't want to miss that conversation coming up next time right here on Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hello, everyone. This is Roger Marsh. Here at Family Talk, we strongly believe in our rights as Americans to make our voices heard at the polls. That is why we are urging you to get out and vote in the 2018 midterm elections. Visit our site on Election Day to click the I Voted button that we'll have there. The future of America depends on our involvement in this crucial election. So pray, be engaged, and cast your vote this November 6th.